Okay, you ready to begin? Let me see if I'm set up here. Yes, I am. All the switches are set. Good. I'm not as ready as you are, apparently. Ah, that's better. In this series, An End Times Perspective, we discuss some things that are certainly are going to happen in the near future and some things that are likely to happen in the future. The end time events, however, are beginning to occur. And the purpose of this series is to help us develop an end times perspective so we can address these things intelligently and faithfully. It's no longer business as usual. Changes are beginning to happen, and they're going to change rapidly, and they're going to escalate. Last week we talked about what about America. That was our topic. We talked about what I believe God has shown me about our nation. I always have to say I believe what God has shown me. We're watching America slide from its position of worldwide influence, and I believe that that's going to continue and actually accelerate. And the next few years could be very difficult for the United States. There's going to be a spiritual revival. There's going to be a swell of righteousness, but it will be followed, I believe, by a nationwide plunge into absolute depravity. There's going to be an open conflict, and this is why it's going to happen. As I was talking a few moments ago with somebody, the reason we need to understand what's happening, but we also need to understand why it's happening. And the reason there's going to be a plunge is that there's an open conflict between the two kingdoms, the kingdom of light and the kingdom of darkness. And I believe Father's told me that America is going to continue to exist, but it'll be radically different from what it is today or the last 20 or 30 or 50 years. Our nation's going to seem to convulse during this transition to its new form. And God hasn't shown me yet what the nation will look like after this transition. And I think He told me that this is a redemptive correction. This is not God's wrath being poured out on our nation. No, it's a redemptive correction. And it's primarily to get the attention of the church. You and me. So I'm confident that some of our national problems will be resolved, but I'm not going to speculate about them or which ones will be. So based on what Father's told me, I think that the results are going to depend largely on how American church responds. Somebody's trying to get in, I think. It's going to depend, the results, the severity of the results and so forth, are going to depend on how we respond. You got that? We're not just to sit back and watch things and say, oh, look what's happening. No. So we need to prepare for major change. That's a key point right there. Prepare for major change. You know, it's hard for us to think about potential problems ahead. We don't want to see an economic or a civil storm on the horizon. We don't like to see these things. And it's uncomfortable to consider potential problems. It's hard for us to give up the American dream. You know, our image of what America is or has been or could be. And I'll have to admit that even our Christian doctrine can cause us problems. For example, pre-tribulation rapture creates kind of an escapist mentality. Kind of? No. Creates an escapist mentality. It makes us complacent because we tend to think, good luck, guys, but I'm going to be out of here before things hit. You know, escapist mentality. And you know, we overlook scriptures that reveal that God uses our problems to refine, purify, and strengthen us. Refinement's essential, absolutely essential, because most of us look more like the world than we do like the Lord. Also, we ignore verses in Scripture that state that God gives us whatever we need to thrive in problems. When Paul says, I can do all things through Christ Jesus, he's talking about thriving because he's experienced it. He says, I've had good times, I've had bad times, and I can do anything because God strengthens me. We also ignore the lessons of history, that the church thrives in persecution and difficulty. Historically, that's the case. You see it throughout history. And believers get stronger and more spiritually mature in difficult times. But believers fall during times of prosperity and blessing. We become comfortable. We're no longer dependent on God because we have everything we need just down the street. We have income we can supply, provide whatever we need, you know? We get very complacent, lazy. We must be alert to problems, potential problems. Otherwise, they're going to bite us. I'm serious. Now, this is not fear-mongering. It may sound like that to you, but this is not fear-mongering. I definitely do not promote fear or anxiety. I don't advocate panic responses to things. Not a bit. My confidence is strongly placed in the Lord. That's it. I know from personal experience that He will provide whatever I need to face whatever's ahead. He loves us far more than we can even comprehend. So is acknowledging potential problems and preparing for them an expression of fear or lack of trust in God? Absolutely not. Faith is not extreme optimism or naivety. Faith doesn't deny the existence of problems. True faith acknowledges that God has provided everything we need to address problems. That's faith. And if we focus on the problems, we're likely to become fearful or angry. Catch that? If we focus on the problems, we're likely to become fearful or angry. I've seen both. I've experienced both. Instead, we need to be aware of problems and face them with the faith and expectation of God's intervention. That's how we're to view the problems, the potential problems. Proverbs 27:12. Now, I haven't given you an outline for this presentation because I just wanted to present it to you. We're going to look at your worksheets in just a little bit. Proverbs 27:12, in case you're looking for that reference on your sheet, you're not going to find it. Proverbs 27:12. The prudent see danger and take refuge, but the simple keep going and suffer for it. Because they fail to address potential problems, you see? So consider the following. Do you have car insurance because you're planning to have an accident?
No.
No. Do you have a fire extinguisher in your home? If you do, do you have one there in your home because you're planning on having a house fire?
No.
No. Do you have medical insurance because you're planning on getting sick?
No.
No. You recognize the potential need and you prepare for it in advance, right? It's as simple as that. You know, it's almost a joke in the Richmond area. If there's a potential severe storm coming, people race to the grocery store, right? And I don't need to race to the grocery store because I have a well-stocked pantry and refrigerator, thank you, and I'm prepared. You know, several times, go back a few years, several times I've heard, yeah, but what about Y2K? You're like, you know, that was a non-event. Well, listen, I have an electrical engineering college degree, okay? I understand how electronics and computer systems and so forth work. I have extensive career experience with computers and computer systems. I understood the potential danger for Y2K to the national infrastructure, to local offices, banking, power grid, and so on. I understood it. So I tested all the equipment that I was responsible for. I identified the units that likely would fail, and I upgraded them. I took preventive action. And I had no failures in my office as a result of Y2K rollover. My home office, my work office, any place. I also prepared my household for potential shortages due to Y2K. Potential, underline. Point is, we really didn't know what would happen. But I saw the potential and I prepared for it. Corporations spent millions of dollars to correct for potential Y2K problems. They considered it a very real threat. But as a result of all that preparation, Y2K was a non-event. The date passed and nothing seemed to happen. There are a few glitches here and there as a result of it, but by and large, it's business as usual. And still today, I hear derision from some people, from those who don't understand the technology or the danger that situation presented. They're still derisive about it, you know? Well, you know what? They're free to think whatever they want. That's fine. I was there. I was in the middle of it. I knew what the potential was, and I prepared for it. In fact, actually, I consider Y2K a good learning experience because it was a kind of a test run for a large-scale emergency preparation, okay? It also showed the great benefit of preparing for a known problem. I ran tests on my equipment, validated and verified that those problems did exist. This computer would have a problem at the rollover, so I made its corrections. I prepared for it, okay? And as a result, nothing happened. I love America. I am totally grateful to God that He chose to have me born in this nation in the 20th century. I wouldn't want to live anywhere else on earth or in any other time in history. I'm serious, but it grieves me to see what's happening before our eyes. I'm very aware of some of our national problems, corruption among government leaders, corruption, moral perversion in our culture, growing ecological problems, government policies and laws that are wrongly motivated, I believe. Principle of unintended consequences. All these things, I'm aware of them. But I'd like to remind you that these are all typical of any human system. anywhere humans are involved, these things are likely, and not if not inevitably, going to happen. Even in the churches. While good government can reduce the impact of some of these things, human government is not the answer. Jesus Christ is the ultimate answer.
Amen.
And he's going to come back and demonstrate that. Now look at, yes, let's do that. But the Bible shows us that until that happens, until he comes back and sets up his kingdom here on this earth, things in this world will continue to become increasingly difficult. As I said a while ago, before the session started, we live in a corrupt and decaying world. That's a fact. What else would you expect where sin dominates? But this is why you and I need a strategy. I believe our best days as Christians and Americans, as Christian Americans, are just ahead. Our best days are still just ahead. I am anticipating a worldwide revival and a widespread revival in this nation that's going to include a move of God that was greater than any in history, including the day of Pentecost. I'm anticipating radical spiritual transformation of millions of Americans, including Christians, maybe especially Christians. I believe we're going to see widespread what I call blatant miracles of God. I'm going to say blatant because you can't deny they're miracles of God. Okay? God says, I'm in charge. Here, this is what's going to happen. I believe we're going to see widespread blatant miracles of God performed by ordinary believers, you and me. This is not going to be a big name revival led by a few well-known evangelists or pastors. You and I are and will be on the front lines. You and I will be leading people to Jesus. You and I will be driving out demons. You and I will be healing the sick. You and I will be doing everything Jesus did and more because he said so. You and I. Not somebody else, not pastoral staff, not another group or whatever. You and I. Listen, this is going to be really good. Really good.
Amen.
But heads up. People will only be interested in what God has to offer when our national systems fail. We have made government our God, and we worship it, and we rely on it to take care of us. But God will not share his glory with any human institution, including our national government. I believe he's going to prove that our government is incapable of all we expect of it. People will turn to God out of desperation. Historically, that's the case. When they've exhausted all other possibilities, I believe it will be when human systems that they have trusted failed and they have no other hope. By the way, that can happen very quickly.
Yes.
We must prepare ourselves so we can help people when the human systems they trust fail. We must prepare ourselves to offer them the way, the truth, and the life. We need a strategy for preparing ourselves. So, please look at the handout that you have before you called Strategy for the Times. This is a printout from the article that I have on my website. You can see the website address in the upper right corner. You can also go to my website, click on Articles in the menu, and then look for Biblical End Times. You'll find this article in that list of articles, in that list. I'm giving you this printout now so you can read it, you can mark it up, you can digest it, throw it away, whatever you want to, at your convenience. But right now, I only want to hit a few of the highlights, okay? I just want to show you what's in here and hit a few points. On the front page there, notice the third paragraph. This is extremely important. The paragraph that says, do not be afraid. You see that? We must turn to him, that is to God, for everything. We must live in complete dependence upon him and conform ourselves to his nature and ways. Then it really doesn't matter what the future brings because he will provide everything we need. The first aspect, well, with this in mind, now with that perspective in mind, let's look at this strategy here. The first aspect of the strategy is transform. You see that? The specifics are listed there. Become Christ-like, know God and his ways, and have his perspective. You're going to see that I develop each of these points in separate paragraphs. And this section reveals an absolutely important point that most people don't even consider. And it's this. This is not just about you. Important point. What we're talking about here is not just about you. Jesus came to serve, and that is our mandate. Right? Jesus came to serve. And that's why we are here too. When people become desperate, you and I must be ready to serve them. Right? Okay? But we can only serve people effectively in a crisis if we focus on transforming ourselves into God's image before the crisis occurs. If you wait until things fall apart, it's too late. You're behind the curve at that point. Also, if we remain self-centered, we're going to utterly fail to please God when faced with a crisis. Now look on page 2, if you would please. See the caption of Biblical Foundation for Radical Change? These are scriptures that support the preceding paragraphs, okay? So this is not just me blowing off up here. What I'm saying is based on scripture, and there are some scriptures that support what I've been saying here. So the first aspect of the strategy is to transform. The second aspect is to engage. Specifics, become an active citizen. David was talking about this just a few moments ago. Become an active citizen. Present God and His kingdom. Have His heart for people and be like salt and light. Now, I want to emphasize the first paragraph, not because it's most important, it's not, but because we Christians fail miserably in this area. As God's representatives on earth, keep that in mind, that's who we are. We are God's representatives on this earth. We should be the most honorable citizens of our nation. We should be examples of what a wholesome, healthy, productive, worthwhile citizen is in this nation. First of all, we should be actively involved in our civic duties. Secondly, we must pray for our government leaders. Now, at times I mention praying for our president, and someone would strongly object, like, "Oh, I'm not going to pray for our president because I want his policies to fail." Well, whether you agree with the president's policies or not, he is our president. And the Bible says, pray for him. Specifically, 1 Timothy 2, verses 1 and 2 says, "I urge you then, first of all, top priority, high priority, that requests, prayers, intercessions, and thanksgiving be made for everyone." And who is that? For kings and all those in authorities. That includes presidents, elected representatives, and so forth. "That we might live peaceful and quiet lives in all godliness and holiness." I suggest that praying our president would receive wisdom and skills that he needs, that he'd be protected from those who would harm him, that he'd receive righteous counsel, dreams, and revelation, that he would serve our nation according to God's will. I think we all can pray that regardless of who the president is, because every human in that office needs all of those things. I don't care what their background is, their motivations, their agenda, whatever. Every person in that position, in high positions, needs that kind of prayer support. The point is this. This is something you might not realize, that if we don't pray for our president and all other government leaders, we leave them vulnerable to spiritual confusion and deception. We create a spiritual vacuum. And you know that a vacuum doesn't stay that way very long. If we withdraw the righteous influence, guess what fills the vacuum? Evil, deception, confusion, right? And we don't want that. Do we?
No.
Not a bit. So engage. Engage. Christianity is not a spectator sport, so get involved. Look at page 4, if you would, please. Page 4. This presents the third aspect of this strategy, prepare. Prepare. Look at the specifics listed there. Get out of debt, make emergency preparations, and surround yourself with spiritual family. We're not just preparing on one level. We're preparing on all levels here. I want to emphasize something from the second paragraph that's labeled make emergency preparations. Do you see that? We should expect to see temporary disruptions in services and supplies, like water, electricity, gasoline, food, and so forth. Temporary, but we should expect them. If you don't do anything else to prepare, I strongly urge you to create or build up your food pantry. When you buy groceries, buy a few extra canned goods or dry goods, the things that you commonly use, and store them, especially if they are on sale. Okay, that's a great time to buy them. If you have a freezer, you can stock up the same way, but just remember, we may be without electricity for a while, so keep that in mind, okay? Sometimes things happen very quickly, and you don't have time to get to the store or everyone else in the county got to the store before you did. Okay? So, but a well-stocked pantry provides a buffer. Based on the information that I have seen, I've done a lot of research in these areas, and based on the info that I've seen, I strongly recommend a pantry with at least 2 weeks worth of food and supplies. Preferably four or more, but shoot for two. That's a good place to shoot for. When you're stocking your shelves, just a pointer, here's a suggestion, put the newest items that you buy in the back and use the things off the front. That way you'll be using things with the nearest expiration date. You won't get to the back of your inventory and find out, oop, this went out 10 years ago, you know. I came across something like that the other day in my pantry. I was surprised to see it. Well, that was when she, oh, yeah, whatever. Yeah. Under the Biblical Foundation for Common Sense Preparations, do you see that on your sheet there? I provide several examples, including Jesus' parables, in which he strongly recommends us to be ready for potential problems. Notice that. If you look through those things, he's saying you need to be ready for potential problems. Now, on page 5, I think that's on the back side there. There you go. Notice the resources. See the resources heading? And notice the warning here. Pray for wisdom and prepare without fear. Pray for wisdom and prepare without fear. Look at the four sections under resources. If you look at this page on my website, you'll see that those items, the items in that list are actually hyperlinks. You can click on them and they'll take you to other documents and websites. I suggest that you consider CERT, the Community Emergency Response Teams. The CERT website explains the importance of civilian response teams in the event of emergencies. The training is excellent preparation, even if you don't become part of the response team. You'll also find a link to the search by zip code, so you can enter your zip code and find the CERT team that's in your particular area if you're interested. I downloaded and I studied the CERT training material, but I haven't taken the CERT training, but the training material itself is excellent. I've talked with people who have taken the training, and they strongly recommend it. I know several people who have taken it. Now, a little bit further down, you see the heading of family and household preparations. I provide links to sites that recommend general preparations, including an excerpt from a book by David Wilkerson. He had a very comprehensive list of items in one of his books on how he was recommending people in his church in New York to prepare for problems in New York City.
30 years ago,
and it's still very relevant. Okay? So I included that one because I thought it was an excellent resource among the others I've listed. The ones that I presented there I felt at the time were some of the best resources I found. Okay. Under the section of household food and supplies, you're going to find some links to a few suppliers. You can examine their inventory and purchase their items online. Now, by the way, you can also get some freeze-dried camping meals at local stores. I've tried some of them. Some of them are pretty good. It's a matter of taste. I've tried some that were highly recommended. I thought I wouldn't want to eat that one again. But that's personal taste. There are things that I prepare that I wouldn't want to eat again, you know? So it's not a big deal. If you're hungry enough, you will eat it, yes. Yeah. Yep, and pray for a miracle. Now on page 6, see page 6 there? Under the vehicle emergency kit checklists, I provide a few links to sites that suggest items to include in an emergency supply kit. Now, if you're unable to make it home one night due to a problem, whatever that problem might be, if you encounter an accident, if you have to leave home in an emergency for some reason, whatever, or you get stranded somewhere, this emergency kit in your car can be invaluable. Literally, it can be a lifesaver. So you should include supplies that you may need to survive for a few days. Now, if you we have one of these in each of our cars, okay? They're pre-stocked, pre-prepared. They've been there for a long time. Occasionally, I have to replace the bottle of water because I don't want to leave it out there all the time. But, you know, we have it in our cars. By the way, we have a spare tire in our car, too, just in case we need it. So this is totally preparatory, just in case, all right? This is not panic mode. No, this is common sense stuff. The fourth aspect of this strategy is anticipate. Specifics: expect God to show you what to do. Expect Him to use you and your preparations to help others. Expect Him to care for you regardless of circumstances. And my personal favorite, expect Him to take you home when your work here is complete. I know I'm biased in that direction, but okay. pray for it and get over it. Yeah, pray for it and get over it. This is the way. Let me ask you something. Do you believe in miracles?
Yes.
Okay. Do you believe that Jesus multiplied a very small amount of food to feed a very large crowd? Okay. Do you realize that's happened to ministries here at Cornerstone just in the last few years? Do you realize that you can anticipate God providing whatever you need to serve people, and that includes whatever you need to prepare for emergencies? You say, well, I can't afford to do it. Yes, you can. We'll talk about that in just a little bit. We need to prepare as faithful stewards, then anticipate Him using our preparations to serve people in need. You see the thrust there? You see the emphasis? This is not just about you. That's not why you're here. It's just like God to use your last single serving of meal to feed your entire community. That's just the kind of thing He likes doing.
Right.
I get a kick out of it too. So be prepared to share the gospel with your neighbors while they're eating your miracle food. They're receptive at that point. I'm serious. Now, this is the basic strategy I recommend, and it's based on biblical principles, but also on biblical commands. These are not just recommendations. The Bible says we need to be doing some things, okay? So please read this article, if you would. Pray over it. Meditate on it. Let Father show you what you should do. But whatever you do, please, please, please don't assume that everything will just somehow work out okay. Because if you do that, you'll be totally unprepared for what's ahead, spiritually, psychologically, and physically. Unprepared. And you won't be able to help anyone, and we will have to take care of you. So there's general agreement that in addition to a great revival, there's going to be a great falling away in the end times. I'm fully anticipating that. And I'm convinced that many Christians simply don't anticipate problems. They might even consider that faith. A lot of them do. I've talked to some. They say, well, I'm not acting in faith if I'm making all these preparations you're talking about. Well, they're free to think that way. I'm okay with that. But when problems do come, I'm concerned that they might not be able to stand because they're not prepared for it spiritually, psychologically, or any other way. So don't be a spiritual casualty. Don't be a kingdom liability. Prepare yourself and your household now. Now is the time to get ready, spiritually, psychologically, and every other way as well. Any questions or comments, please?
I get the newsletter. My dad's book is pronounced his son, Gary.
Mm-hmm.
And just the one that came yesterday was talking about Muslims fleeing ISIS. The Christian groups are there to meet them and supply their needs instead of Muslims coming just to close their back.
Right.
And that they, because they're being rejected by their own people and so received and loved by Christians, that they're totally open. And he said, he spoke to the person there and said, so there are they accepting more by hundreds or thousands? He said, by millions, because of the love of Christ being shown. And the provision there, which God is multiplying, the healings, the miracles, the things that are happening there. He said, it's just what you're talking about.
If people are faced with desperate, life-threatening situations, I'm sorry, but they're not interested in the Bible story. That's not their primary interest. But when they see a Bible story in real life, they see you prepared, concerned for them, you're prepared to help them, willing to stand in their place and provide what they need, they're wide open. They are receptive. You are presenting something they really admire and want. And it's not just the resources you're offering. Okay? So be aware of that. Again, this is not just about you. Any other questions or comments?
One more thing.
Yes.
This is not just about you thing. When you made the comment way early in the class about the rapture and the attitude, like, good luck, guys, I'm out of here.
Yeah.
Again, that's I think God's using it to show our attitudes and our hearts because is it all about me being out of here? Or is it about me still being here to help other people go with me when it's time? So,
right.
You know, it's just... Where's our heart?
It reveals our heart too, doesn't it?
Yeah.
It really does. Questions or comments? We have plenty of time, so go for it. What's on your mind about this?
Well, I think unselfishness is going to be the main thing because I find that I hang on to things that I really don't need sometimes. And then I remember probably 25 years ago when we were learning about all the preparation that was going on in Sweden and for preparation for the Jews coming, for the Russians coming out, and there are places where they have boats ready to take them, and there are clothes closets that elderly ladies have been gathering and stowing away secretly. And, you know, we kind of look at those things because we're so fat and wonderfully provided for that we don't need to. And we see so much thrown away that is of value. And, you know, it's a concern because even something as simple as an old blanket, you know, mostly we hear about, oh, give it to the Humane Society for the animals. And I'm not knocking animals because I love them. Mm-hmm. But there may be people who are going to be cold. You know, some of those extra things, it might be wise to have a little clothes closet available for someone else.
Right.
Or at least think about, well, do I have an empty garage where we could do something like that? And, you know, you have to be smart about maybe blacking out your windows and hiding it behind something or whatever. I mean, it's, you think about the Jews and how, what they went through in Frank, and you think about Corrie Ten Boom, and I mean, just so many things, and even an extra bottle of peroxide or alcohol or aspirin. I mean, when you really do sit around and think about it, and you look at these tent colonies all over the world where people are being bitten by flies and have barely anything to eat and wasting away, and we throw more food out than they've eaten in a month, you know, it's really...
Yeah.
I've come to a place where when I buy something fresh and I forget and I have to put it down the disposal, I just say, I'm so sorry, Lord, because I hate that waste. So
yeah.
I think we need to be alert to the warnings. And they've been going on for years, but we see the timing is more urgent now.
So things are escalating, aren't they?
Yes.
Yeah.
I see the need so much, just like you're saying, so great, just going down the streets. I mean, some people walking down the street needing... signs out.
Yeah.
I gave them, I sometimes give them money. Sometimes I pick them up and drive the distance to
mm-hmm.
other places. There's so many needs out there we can just reach out and help them out. The only one.
And you know, when you give with the right heart, if it's even if it's a liar, you can pray for that person and
mm-hmm.
ask God to bring conviction upon them. If they are, you know, taking it for their own benefit or they're lying, that's God's problem, not ours.
I carry BBN cards, Bible Broadcasting Network, which is 99.9 of the FM dial. I try to hand it to them when they leave.
Mm-hmm.
Take this.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing else.
Yeah. I have that on in my car. My son put it on there.
Yeah, I give it to restaurants, plus the people I go through McDonald's, drive through windows.
Right. Mm-hmm. Be an influence.
You
yeah.
put your emergency kit in your car.
Yes.
My sister keeps a box. Thought about doing it, haven't done it yet.
Yeah.
But a box of gallon Ziploc bags. It
mm-hmm.
is a small testament, and then it's got a bottle of water. It's got some of those like crackers and peanut butter or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
It's got food that a person can just open, like a pop top of tuna or something like that.
Right.
It's food that is just immediately eat. You're able to eat it right away.
Right.
Without cooking or anything.
Mm-hmm.
And then the testament. It's got wipes.
Mm-hmm.
It's just a lot of little, you could pray about what it is, but a little essential things that fit the gallons of plot bag. When
right.
she sees one of these people, she said instead of giving them money, she gives them one of those bags. And
mm-hmm.
if they're really needy, then it's really helpful, and the word is there too. And,
right.
If they have the time to just do nothing, they can sit and read the word.
Yep.
So anyway, it's just a thought.
Any more thoughts or comments, questions?
Just that we've truly been so spoiled living in this country. Grocery store so close, shelves always full,
mm-hmm.
Always able to get gas, more cars than we can drive.
Mm-hmm.
We've been so spoiled, it's very easy to become apathetical. Even seeing on the news what's happening around the world, well, it can't happen here.
Mm-hmm.
But yet, it does happen here.
That's right.
I've always been surprised that with the drought in the West, the huge fires in the West, where there are not enough people to contain them, and they're getting mm-hmm. worse and worse.
They're asking for volunteers now.
Yes,
just we just don't hear pastors yet saying the Lord's hand of protection has been lifted off us because of, well, we've told him to take a walk, and he has.
Yep.
And it's not the culture that's causing this. What are sinners going to do? They're going to sin, right?
That's right.
That's what they do. That's who they are. I believe, absolutely believe, that the reason these things are upon us is because the church has become irrelevant to God's kingdom. Let me put it that way. Irrelevant to God's kingdom. We're not doing what God put us here to do. We are turning our backs. We're living just like the world. We're thinking and acting just like the world. And that's the reason God's saying, hey, church, wake up. Look what happens if I'm not there. Jim mentioned something here about things that... And the church is us. We need to be actively engaged. Jim mentioned something a while ago. He's talking about food in the grocery stores and gas and the gas pumps and so forth. You know, I have a philosophy. When my gas gauge gets down to half, I fill it back up. Because you don't know. You don't know. You really don't know. So just think about these things, okay? Again, this is not panicking. This is not fear-mongering. It's practical sense. And Jesus said, consider and prepare. Look at the references I gave you. Yes, Yvette.
Claudia Reese is the one that did most of the paintings and the prayer garden statue.
Yes.
She, I'm going to quote her. She said one day, just talking, general conversation, and she said that we wouldn't need all these committees and all of these ministries, so-called titled ministries, if we just did what we're supposed to do and be neighbors to one another.
As individuals.
And that hit me so hard. It really did. It was like, oh, duh.
Yep.
Well, most of us don't know the names of the people on either side or across the street from us.
So right.
I mean, guilty. I know the young couple next door. I know they're not living the way the Lord would want them to. We wave once in a while. They're not home
mm-hmm.
much.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, there hasn't been that effort at the gospel. And somebody across the street diagonally, and we've been there since 96, and I just found out what their last name was. I mean, that's pretty poor.
I don't reach out as much as I should to my neighbors. I know one once to the left my right, but across the way, I don't even know their names.
Mm-hmm. Well, let me wrap things up here. But just a couple comments here. My recommendation for you this week is to read this strategy. Just read one section at a time. You might just want to read one section a day. Or you might want to read that one section repeatedly for a week or so until you start gaining some insight on that section before you go to the next one. Meditate on it. Let the Holy Spirit show you, bring things to your attention, show you what you should do, and show you what you should not do. But don't make those choices yourself. I'm serious. Let the Holy Spirit speak to you. It's very likely, if not certain, that He's going to suggest that you get outside your comfort zone. You visit your neighbors or whatever, okay? Identify the things you need to do, the things that God has shown you, yes, you need to do this and don't do that. Identify those things you need to do and develop a plan for doing them. Just get started. Just work at it. I don't think it'll be long before significant changes begin. Things are beginning to happen rapidly. My wife was with our granddaughter yesterday, and she was telling her, you know, things have changed a lot in the last 25 years or so. 25 years ago, people used to be this way, and now today, people are this way. It's extremely different. Things are happening, and we just kind of move along with it and drift along with it and don't really pay much attention to the change. But wake up. Open your eyes and look to see what's happening around us. Next week will be our final session in this series. I provided an outline of this series with the worksheet that you have there to remind you the topics we talked about. Please read through that, and as you read through that, think of any questions that you might have. Write those questions down and bring those questions with you next week, and we will discuss your questions in addition to some new material. Okay? You see where we are and where we're heading? Grander sense, not just in this particular class? Good. Before you leave, let me pronounce a blessing on you based on John 16:13. May the Spirit of truth guide you into all truth and show you exactly what your strategy should be. The Lord bless you. I look forward to seeing you next week.
I have here, this is Pat Mason Bell's daughter and her husband, and they are working for Samaritan's Purse in northern Iraq. And I asked for prayer cards for our group, so if you would like to take one and pray for them, I'll be happy to give you one.
That